Blog Talk Radio.
Our destiny is greatness, people. Why?
Because God did it.
Come on with it.
Talk to him.
Hey, Nick and E in the building.
You know why they yawning? Talk to him.
Come on, E.
Get them out the way.
Come on.
Hey, God, where about that?
We loosen the roof, baby.
The story.
It's happening. Colossal! Our
destiny
is greatness.
Talk to him.
Come on.
Good morning! There we go, baby. Nick and Eric in the morning. Topic Tuesday. We are here in the midst of a lovely, newsworthy, just pivotal period and time and day in our nation's history. There's tons to discuss as far as religion is concerned, as far as politics is concerned, as far as news is concerned, and Nick is here to orchestrate these discussions. And I am excited. It is Switch Week here on Nick and Eric in the Morning. What's going on, bro?
What's going on with you, good brother? What's going on, man? How you feeling this morning?
Yeah, I'm all good. I am feeling good. You know what? I got the triple threat this week. The triple threat that you was talking about.
Oh, yeah, that triple
ago.
Threat.
Well, actually, it's a quadruple. I got all three of my fantasy teams won, the Eagles won, and Hillary won. So it's actually five. Five wins.
Yeah. I didn't get all of them. I didn't get all of them. But you know what? The Eagles win was so good that it made up for all the losses.
Oh, yeah. That was really good.
The rest of them. Yeah, man. So listen, people, it's Topic Tuesday. We're here, okay? We got a lot to discuss. We have an interesting theological perspective that we're going to encounter this morning, and I'm excited about it. There's some questions that we need to answer, people, that there's some perspectives that we need to entertain, dissect, delineate, and then rebut. That's right, I said it. But listen, before we do that, we've got to talk about what's relevant, okay? We've got to talk about what's really relevant in the news today, and there are some great topics to discuss, people. There's some great topics to discuss. So lest I bore you guys anymore, we're going to get right into it. I'm going to start the top of the show off with what's really relevant, right? Before I do that, so I want to let you all know
what's really relevant. Well, that's new.
Right before I do that, I want to let you guys know that today, our second segment our third segment after the topic will be Just Fine or Out of Line. Okay, we're doing
nice.
Just Fine or Out of Line with our boy Eric Terrell. This morning. So stay in tune for that.
I'm excited.
And, we'll get to that. But listen, here it is. What's really relevant? Okay, we got to start the top of the show off with politics, people. How could we go around it with the debate that happened last night? We've got to go to E. We've got to talk about this. We've got to get E's perspective on what happened. E, what's really relevant? The presidential debate took place last night. Clinton or Trump, the world weighs in and decides on who we think won. Bro, talk about it for us. What did you get out of last night? How was the debate? I heard you say you thought Clinton won. Talk us through that, bro, because I was in seminary class, so I missed it.
You've got to check it out. You've got to find some retroactive running of this debate. You've got to find a rerun. You've got to find a way to see, at least to see the highlights, my man.
Yes, sir.
Because the odd thing is that I'm so low on both these candidates, I was actually shocked last night. And I'm admittedly shocked last night because I don't think Hillary Clinton won this debate because Donald Trump lost it. No, I think Donald Trump, even though I agreed with pretty much nothing he said, I think Donald Trump put up a good fight. I thought he put up a good debate. I thought Hillary Clinton was better. Hillary Clinton was so much better. I mean, they went out there and they debated, and I thought they both had good attacks, and I thought Clinton won. I mean, I thought she won, not by default, but I thought she won. So I'm as low as I am on these candidates. I was pleasantly shocked last night, and I'm so much higher on Clinton last night, not higher on Trump, because if we know it's anything Trump can do, we know he can fight. But the question was, could Hillary, in a classy way, withstand his attacks and attack him better in her calm and in her collected and in her cool way? Now, the debate last night was supposed to be about three things: achieving prosperity, America's direction, and securing America. Okay, one of the great things Hillary said right off the bat is something that I actually wanted to talk about in upcoming weeks on the show, and that's about jobs. Hillary Clinton said that most of the new jobs will come from small business, which is one thing I wanted to hear her emphasize, or maybe I was surprised and happy to hear her emphasize, because Lord knows we all know some small business owners, and we all know some entrepreneurs, and we know that these people are helping to improve the economy. And Hillary Clinton is here for our small business owners. Now, they fooled me at first. They fooled me at first because they both came out, they were so respectful, and I thought that we would actually have a clean fight. I thought that they were tired of all of the vitriol. I thought they were tired of all of the rhetoric and all of the low temperament and all of the fighting and all of the attacking, because they gave one another a handshake, they smiled at one another, and then they went back to the podiums, the debate started, and Hillary, in her first response, said, she kind of stopped in mid-response and said, "Donald, it's so good to be here with you." And Donald gave her a great big smile. And I said, "What the hell is going on right here?" And then she actually finished her first response with zero attacks on Donald Trump. And then it went to Donald Trump, and he made a slight attack at Hillary. And when it went back to Hillary's turn, Donald Trump cut her off. And he was the first one to cut anybody off. And not only did he cut her off, but after that, he started cutting off the moderator. And I said, I'm so excited. I said, yes, yes, this is the Donald Trump I want to see. I want you to be the Donald Trump I know, okay? Don't come here and be nice. Be the guy with the low temperament. And then to even address his temperament after that, saying that his temperament is better than Hillary's, and hearing everybody laugh after that, it was an amazing touch on the debate. I mean, who are we kidding here? Who are we kidding? Why did I tune into the debate? Let's be real. Most of us tuned in for entertainment, okay? Debates are about taking shots. It's about punching your opponent in the face and having class while doing it. And we know that that's something Donald Trump is not good at, and he was not good at it last night. I think there were moments last night where he fell on his face, and I was happy to see it.
Yeah, man. I got to read some of the responses and some of the notes from this debate. I'll tell you what, I'll be completely honest with you. I wasn't too upset that I missed it. I wasn't rushing home to get to it.
I bet you weren't.
I didn't have a ton of motivation to do anything out of the norm to get back and watch this debate. And it sounds like I didn't miss anything. It sounds like it was the battle of the bad, and the least bad won, and the other bad wasn't as bad. And so I'm glad I missed it. I'll do my updating myself, but we'll move on. We'll move on from politics. We'll go into sports, and I must say real quick
before you move on, since you missed it. I just want to give you the quote of the debate. My favorite quote of the debate is when they were discussing, I think it was ISIS, and Hillary Clinton said, was talking about Donald Trump's strategy, and he said that he calls it his secret plan. But the only secret is he has no plan.
I almost did the five Facebook quotes that explain the debate, but I found three, and then I said, you know what, I should just do what I was going to do from the beginning and do what's really relevant. Anyway, I mean, not what's really relevant, just trying out of line. But anyway, what's really relevant? E, I've been waiting for this moment, good brother. I've been standing by. I've been patiently waiting for this kind of person to do what this person did, and it finally happened. It happened, bro. It happened. LeBron James responds to Colin Kaepernick.
Oh, nice.
He responds to Colin Kaepernick, and he responds the right way. He stands with him. And this is not subjective. This is not subjective. Anybody who disagrees with me that LeBron James shouldn't have stood with him, I don't like you. That's it. You got it still working on me, but I don't like you because you don't understand the bigger picture. I'm extremely excited about this. Necessary. It's so necessary that the NBA has decided to have negotiations with the players. Here's why. As it stands today, if any NBA player sits during the national anthem or kneels during the national anthem because of the rules of the NBA, that NBA player will be fined every time. Now, what we know about the NBA is that a certain amount of fines for the same action leads to suspension. A certain number of suspensions lead to you being enacted by punitive acts of the NBA. So what needs to happen, because the leaders of the NBA, like LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, and of that sort, they were surely going to protest and stand with Colin Kaepernick because, as the modern-day term we use, they are awoke. So, or awake, I got to chill. I don't know. But anyway,
I think you're right.
I think so too, right. But,
bad English, that's what it is.
Yeah, anyway. It's terrible. That's why I responded the way I did. So that's relevant, E, and we have to bring it up really quick. E, you can jump on that, brother. What do you think about these NBA players, about the NBA negotiating with the players on rules because of the actions of this Colin Kaepernick as a pioneer and the rest of those who have stood with and supported Colin Kaepernick's actions?
Now, let's be real. Steph Curry is the best shooter we've ever seen, but LeBron James is the Michael Jordan of our time. Now, because of that, LeBron James has power. The same power that Jordan had, LeBron James has that power. And with great power comes great responsibility. Okay, you have a responsibility to us, and you have a responsibility to the rest of the players and to the NBA. The NBA can say if you sit down during the national anthem, we'll fine you, but LeBron James can say no thanks. I mean, LeBron James has the power. LeBron James sells the tickets. LeBron James gets the most rating, along with Steph Curry, of course. But if LeBron James says, you know what, I'm going to sit and I'm going to keep sitting, then that rule will have to change. It's that simple. So I agree with you on this, and I'm very happy that LeBron stood up and spoke up because it means a lot. I'm not going to lie here. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that he did what he did, that he said what he said, because it really shines a good light on all of us that we're done with it. I mean, the NBA took the All-Star game out of Carolina because of its anti-gay laws. I mean, if you want to stand up for anti-gay laws, stand up for this too. Okay, so I'm with LeBron. I'm glad he did what he did.
My man. Here it is, people. It's time. Okay, it's no longer time to talk about what's relevant. We need to address the topic of this morning's episode. Is God really omniscient? That is what we're talking about today. It's a controversial topic because how dare we?
How dare we question God's power? How dare we speak to his lack thereof? It's a heavy show. It's a heavy show, and it's a show in which we're walking on thin ice. But, you know, I've learned, as an African-American male, in corporate America, I've learned, as a successful African-American male, in spite of a system designed for me to fail, I've learned how to walk on thin ice. And so I've decided to address this topic today. Here's why it's important, and here's what we're discussing. We're discussing the theology behind whether or not God is all-knowing. For all of you out there who don't know, omniscient means all-knowing. And for years, slaves, slave masters, all of the oppressed, my grandmother, pop, my pop-pop, their grandmother, their pop-pop down, singer Negro spirituals by the riverside or at the praise house, giving God glory, and everybody else who knows God is real and was real in their time, they believe and still believe to this day that God is omniscient. Most of them. This is no trait that we just coined ourselves and we've given to God. And they believe that God is all-knowing. Now, we can take ourselves out of our religion. We can go to the Catholics. We can go to Muslims. We can go. You can find, you know, any religion or many other religions, I should say, not any, but many other religious groups. And all of them will repeat the same sentiments. Even the group known as the nuns. Okay, the group known as the nuns is this expeditiously growing group of people. It's actually really dominated by millennials, and they are believers in God, but they have no affiliation with any religious party or any religious group. They believe in God, but they're not interested in religion. They're spiritual, but they're not interested in religion. And even they believe in the deity of God and the omniscience of our great God. And so here we are today, addressing this topic. And we would have to say, if someone was asked to describe God, if we were praying like we were supposed to pray, if we started off our prayer saying our Father and we given him, calling him by name, many of us would say other omnis. We would say he's omnipotent. We would say he's omnipresent. But we would also say that he's omniscient. As well as many other traits, many other attributes that would define or attempt to explain the deity of God. But you see, today the jury, who is myself and maybe even E, we have to bring to the stand omniscience. We have to bring it to the stand, and we dare, in our own human ways, we dare, in our God-dependent minds and life, we dare delineate this theory that proposes a question: what if God doesn't know it all? What if God is not omniscient? And so let's go to the Bible, because these are blasphemous theories until you go to the text, right? So let's just start off in the beginning of the Bible, okay? Now, granted, people, I want you to understand something. I'm going to walk you through this. Take it in and spit out what you don't like, but I make sure that I'll give my opinion on this theological perspective. I will make sure I give my opinion and allow Eric
to give his opinion on this theological perspective. Okay, you'll find that these are out there. Okay, and I'm not saying whether this is my own or not, but I'm giving you it. Here it is. Okay, so let's just look at the beginning of the Bible. Okay, we're talking about where God and his amazing power created the heavens. He created the earth. When this all happened, it was nothing. It was darkness. And in his greatness, he was able to just orchestrate and construct the beauty of this world with such great perfection. And in doing that, he created man. He created Adam. And Adam, when he created Adam, he said, I want you to till the land. I want you to take care of this land. And in Adam doing so, he was going through the animals, and you know, he finally said, you know what, I can't do nothing with none of these animals. God, who I'm gonna be with? Who you leaving here for me? I can't get down with this cheetah. I'm not interested in doing anything with this elephant. What about me? And so God put Adam to sleep. He made a woman from his rib, and he made them. But before he made woman, he told Adam. Now, this is key, people. This is key, because God told Adam. God told him, he said, listen, you can eat any fruit in this land. This garden, the Garden of Eden, I've given it to you. This is your garden. You need to take care of this garden. You do anything you want in this garden, but watch this. Don't eat from that tree. Don't eat from that beautiful tree, because if you do, you will die. Now, you see, this is where the theologians get themselves caught up. This is where this whole "does God know all things" actually come into place. If God knew, if God truly knew all things, then why would he tell Adam not to pick from the tree? One would say, oh, he was testing Adam. But if you know how a test is going to end, then why would you give it? There's no need to test someone if you know the outcome. There's no need to give me the free will to choose if I'm not really choosing, because my decision is already designed. So then the assumption would be, from many theological perspectives, is that God didn't know whether or not Adam was going to choose to eat the apple or not. The assumption would then be that when God gave Eve to Adam out of his rib, that they were going to be equally yoked, and that God's perfect will would be, you obeyed me, and I'll never have to wipe away mankind. So why would he give Adam the opportunity to choose, the opportunity to pick from the apple and watch this become, in an essence, godlike? What do you mean by that? Because by him eating the apple, he changes the whole scenery of the garden. Because when God first creates Adam, Adam is made in God's perfect will. He's made with perfection. He looks just like God. He's made in God's image and his likeness. And everything around him is perfect, because Adam not necessarily can't see, but he can't see. And so by eating this apple, now all of a sudden Adam has vision. He can see everything in the land. He realizes that he's naked, and he goes, both of them run, they sew together some fig leaves to cover themselves up. When Jesus comes looking, they're hiding. But then what happens next is God punishes both of them. He says, woman, you're going to have birth, and it's going to be extremely painful. And he says, Adam, God was really all-knowing, and if God was really this God of gods, then why wouldn't he just be like, you know what, I knew y'all was going to do this. We starting over. Let's go back to the beginning. We're going to start over, and y'all going to do exactly what I say. I'm going to set it up the way I want to set it up so that mankind is perfect, and I don't have to worry about washing away all the animals later on. I don't have to worry about sending Jesus to the cross to save y'all crazy people. I'm just going to start all over, and I'm going to make it perfect.
Now, we got 5 minutes left, E, and I got to leave time for you to respond and me to respond. The other piece to this is Noah, okay? And I'm going to be quick with this one so you can get in here. We might not get to just find our line, but I'm okay with that. Listen, with Noah, God says, Noah, you're a righteous man. You find favor in my eyes. I want you to save a couple animals, your family, so generation can continue. But because of the badness of this land, because of the sickness in the people that I've made, I'm washing away everybody. Wouldn't that indicate that he didn't know that people were capable of such sickness? And if you fast forward to after the water dries up, after he sees all of the people, all the animals get off the boat, after he sees the family of Noah get off the boat and they start to fornicate and they start to do these things, he then says, I see the evil of the people. And that is when he says, I will no longer punish you. I will no longer kill or seek to destroy human mankind because evil is rich within inside of you. But wouldn't that indicate that he didn't know to begin with? Wouldn't that indicate that he isn't all-knowing? Go ahead and give it to me, E. What you think, brother? What's your theological perspective on this?
Well, I honestly feel like you're better suited to answer those questions than I am, but I'm going to be as transparent as I can right now, and I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel about this great, which we have unearthed today. And, you know, a close friend of mine asked me, because they know I'm a deacon and they know how much I love God and I have a deep relationship with God and I'm always serving, I'm always at church. She texted me and she said, why do people die of cancer?
Mm-hmm.
She just said, why do people die of cancer? And people ask these questions every day. In fact, it's probably the premier thought or the premier belief of atheism. And that's, you know, why bad things happen, especially to good people. But why do people die of cancer? Why are African Americans getting shot in the street? Why is there racism? Why is there bigotry? Why do children get raped? Why are people homeless? If he knows everything, then how can he let this happen?
Yeah, that's a good point, and that's a question that is often asked. Listen, people, for our live listeners, I gotta respond to this. Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off, because I know you were still going, but I can't do this show without letting people know where I stand. And if our live listeners never tune back in, I can't bring up this theological perspective and not give my own. Listen, people, to put a human mind on the thinking of God is belittling his power and belittling his will, belittling what he's capable of. God is all-knowing, period. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent, okay? He's omnipresent, and we are not. And so thus, the things that we cannot describe are typically godlike. There are some things that you can dig deeper, you can find context around because of historical context, historical background that is rich within the Bible. But when it comes to God, the common denominator among questions unanswered is because he's God. If you keep asking why and why and why, if you're an auditor, if you are a lawyer, if you're trying to get to the bottom of it, you will religiously and profusively come back to the facts because he is God. And so to answer all the questions that I ask myself, it would be easy. I would just say because he is God, but I'm not going to take the easy way out. I'm going to give you, like, allow Adam to choose. Because he's God, number one. But number two, that is how we live today. We have the free will to choose.
But you see, when you're walking in divine order, when you have the grace and the mercy of God with you, it is that all things that we choose work together for our good. That's how good his grace is. That's how good his mercy is. We cannot prosecute God, which sounds blasphemous. We cannot prosecute God for his greatness. We cannot prosecute God for his godliness. That's asinine, erroneous, blasphemous. The reason why God does things that we cannot explain is because he is God. God's will is always taking place. Maybe our actions aren't indicative of what he wants, and thus his will has to be enforced so that what we're going through or what we're currently in will ultimately work out for our good. But that good that is there, God always wanted it. That final destination where he's called us to be, that's already going to happen. You got to think about it. Moses killed a man. You know what? God didn't want Moses to kill a man. That's not what he wanted. God wants perfection. God wants happiness. God wants joy. God is a God of love and forgiveness and grace and a willingness. But listen, God used Moses' mistake to put Moses in the wilderness, to then put Moses to taking care of sheep, to then put Moses into taking care of sheep from a human perspective. If God didn't use Moses where he was in the wilderness, where he was taking care of sheep, then how could Moses lead 300 people? How could Moses lead all of those people out of captivity for 300 years, through the wilderness, just like he did the sheep? That's God's divine order. That's God's divine will. That's God knowing this is going to work for your good. So, yes, God is all-knowing. Yes, God is omnipotent. Yes, God is omnipresent. And we cannot always wrap our head around how. But we can rest assured in this. Because he is God. That's all you got. You can come up with theological perspectives that our human mind can make logical. We can have scientific analogies and theories. We can create experiments through the scientific method, and we can come up with many different theological perspectives, but that would be humanly. God is godly. I had to give that to them. They needed that. I could not have this, in my opinion, blasphemous conversation without giving them my theological perspective on this thing here. But I cut you off, and I want to let you get back. I know our live listeners are gone, but I want to let you get back in and finish what you were saying.
They've got a good argument. You know, the atheist, everyone who says that God is not all-knowing, that he can't be all-knowing, that no one can be all-knowing, they've got a great argument. And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying they've got an amazing argument. I mean, if he knows that they're going to hell, when they're born, so how does he love them? And then the biggest argument they have is about free will. If he's all-knowing, then how can free will exist? He knows that I will sin, and he knows that I will fail. But he cares about me, but yet I fail so many times, and he knows I'm going to fail. But he doesn't tell me. He doesn't tell me I'm going to fail. He doesn't tell me I'm going to sin. I must be destined to fail. I must be destined to sin. That just must be my fate, and it must be all I'm worth. I mean, people who are homeless and who die homeless, that must be their fate. That must be their will. Their will must not have been free. Period. That's their argument. However, I do believe that that what you just elocuted trumps all of this, and I do believe in what you said. First of all, I mean, I'll just end by saying that I wouldn't want. I mean, my friend who asked me why do people die of cancer, I simply responded, "Well, why do so many people get healed from cancer? I mean, why?" There's so much bad in the world, but why is there so much good in the world? And how do you know if we would know what good or bad is if there wasn't so much bad in the world? How would we be able to differentiate the bad from the good? There's bad in the world and there's good in the world. But if God made everything peachy and everything just good, then how would we know what good is? How would we not be spoiled? How would we be able to prove God's existence if there was no bad to compare against the good? And at the end of the day, I wouldn't want to serve a God who's not all-knowing. Now, we say God's all-powerful. We say God's all-knowing. One of the reasons I believe he is all-powerful is because he is all-knowing. How can you be all-powerful if you're not all-knowing? I mean, isn't knowledge power? I mean, Psalms 147:4 says he counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Matthew 10:30 says the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Even before there is word on my tongue, Lord, you know it all. And Psalms 147:5 says that his understanding is infinite. And I believe it is. Go ahead, bro.
Well, listen, I knew this was going to be heavy. I knew this was going to be heavy. I knew we was going to have to tread on thin ice. I don't believe that. I think we were able to tread dangerous ground this morning. And we prayed before the show, and the show went live, and it went on, and it did what it was supposed to do. So listen, but we got Worship Wednesday tomorrow. We're having Worship Wednesday tomorrow, the last Wednesday of the month again. We are excited about it, so tune in. There'll be a word from the Lord, and there'll be some prayer. So Facebook us, man. Shoot us a message. You can hit us at Nick and Erica in the Morning on our Facebook page, or you can hit us individually in the direct message, and we won't say your name, but we'll get you on here with a prayer. We'll lift your name up. So tune in tomorrow to Worship Wednesday. Go ahead.
And Nick is going to make up for skipping just fine out of line next week.
That's what I'm gonna do.
By doing Just Fighter Out of Line with Nicholas Christian.
Eric hates when I promise people stuff and don't do it. He hates it. I don't do it often. we'll get you Just Fine or Out of Line next week. Hopefully there'll be greater topics. I had some topics this week, but they weren't as good as Eric's Just Fine or Out of Line. It was all politics. It was corny.
Okay, cool,
so I'm excited
cool.
about
we'll
I'm excited
good.
About next week. We're getting out of here. So tune in tomorrow, Worship Wednesday. Nick, take us out of here, bro.
Appreciate you. Listen here, if you didn't get anything from today's show, then you must be all-knowing. But
you got a chance.
Listen here, thanks for tuning in, people. We love y'all. If you didn't get anything from the show, then get this, okay? Your destiny, my destiny, E's destiny, our destiny is greatness. Why?
Because God did it. God did it, baby.
Because your destiny is greatness because God did it. I holla.